In a universe that almost is, just out of reach beyond the edge of reality, mysterious forces underlie the fabric of existence. Energemetra 6, the very energy of creation, serves as both the elixir of life and the arsenal of destruction for its human and not-so-human denizens.
Crushing darkness, whose source they cannot fathom, grips the cosmos and its people. In anguish, they dream of the long-foretold bright star.
Join us as we embark on an epic journey, exploring the universe of Energemetra 6.
Welcome, everybody. We are live. This is episode 15 of the Energemetra 6 podcast. I think it's 15, right, guys? I mean, I am counting the winter night one, so I think we're on 15 weeks, and this should be our last day in Brightstar, and that is pretty cool. We're getting close to the end here, and I don't know, I've enjoyed it. You guys both enjoyed it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I sure appreciate you being here for it. Real quick, before we get started, let me hit the value for value ad. The Energemetra 6 podcast operates on a value for value model. That means that we hope if we provide some value to you in your life, that you'll return that to us in whatever way you can manage. If you're interested, head over to e6universe.com and sign up for our email list to get our free ebooks and hopefully buy a physical book or some merch while you're there. Or if all you can manage right now is to leave us a good review somewhere, 5 stars or some kind of positive rating, that's more than appreciated. Thank you. And with that, I don't see any reason that we should delay here. Oh, actually, yeah, before we get started, for those of you who are watching, next week, I think it is, Mel, we get to do a Q&A sort of stream. I don't know anything about what you're planning to ask or anything. I'm gonna keep that a surprise. I'm going to let you work it out. I haven't gotten any questions yet from anybody, so if anybody's interested, we will have both chats available at the time. And you can certainly also send questions to jared@e6universe.com, and I will pass them on to Mel. And just so everybody remembers, we go live every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern. So hopefully we'll get a couple of people showing up to say hi tomorrow or next week. That'd be fun. Yeah. All right. With that, let's dive right in here. This is the conclusion to Bright Star, and the title of the conclusion is Family. Interval. Pain and darkness clung to him, dragging his consciousness into a spiral. Instinctively, he recalled the darkness surrounding the crystal that had birthed him into this reality and shuddered. But this was not that. And eventually, his mind began to unwind from its insensate knot. He didn't have any awareness of opening his eyes, but he could see. Could he see? By what sense did he perceive the light coming from all around him? Who was he? He had no memory, but for that one fading glimpse of darkness and his faceted prison, the past was like a wisp of smoke. When he reached for it, it fled. Was he dead? This must be what it was like to die. Beneath his feet was a veritable ocean of crystal. It made the prison that had once carried him seem tiny by comparison. It was an entire world, a universe of crystal, faceted internally. So intricate he could have lost himself for a lifetime in its complexity. He was so bedazzled by the light that came from all around that he couldn't see anything beyond the crystal below. How long will you run? The voice was quiet. It took him a long moment to realize it spoke only in the privacy of his own mind. Run? His confusion was genuine. From me? From your memories? From who and what you are? Outrage bubbled up, obliterating confusion. I've been trying to remember ever since... Have you? Unbidden, his mind returned to Ocarist, and he filled again with terror and shame as Kievan had asked him his name. He could have remembered. Why hadn't he? Then he was in his cabin, full of clarity, turning away from the past that reached forward to haunt him. Then he was on Malak. An otherworldly window of light shone down upon him. A voice, this voice, spoke in a language he couldn't comprehend, and he fled from it in terror. Again and again, clarity came to him, and he rejected it. He would have wept if he could, but in this place he had no eyes. He felt much like he imagined a slug might if poked with a stick. Again, he teetered on the brink of memory, but he was suddenly terrified by what he might find there. A distant sigh seemed to waft across him, and suddenly he felt embraced as if by light itself. The touch was gentle, but it enfolded him into sanity he so desperately needed. Mentally groping for safety once more, he said, "I haven't run from responsibility. I've shouldered it." This time the voice sounded weary, but the feeling of being held never slackened. "Must you make even your selflessness about you?" On top of the obvious gentleness of the embrace, he was enfolded within. That question finally penetrated his defenses. Unbidden, he remembered leaving Malak to return to Loredan. He had saved John and Rachel in some fashion. He knew he had. But it had not been out of selflessness. He had agreed to stay at the Akrolukum, but it had been out of obligation rather than concern for Ty. Even in facing the changed, while it had been his task, it had always been about himself rather than the lives he knew he was to save. The memory broke him. He was unable to weep, but a river of tears would not have been enough for the emptiness he felt. "When your eyes are on yourself, you will always see the abyss. To have purpose, even your own story must elevate others. Can you help me?" He felt unspeakably pitiful asking that question, but the sense of warmth and certainty still surrounding him was undeniable. "The real question is, will you accept help when it is offered?" It was then that the Sigil of Mysteries came unbidden to his mind. Had he used it at all in his fight with the changed? With dismay, he realized that he hadn't. He must have forgotten. Or was it because he had something to prove? Tentatively, feeling again like an insect in the presence of a giant, he said, I'll try. Warmth suffused him then, and he felt himself drifting away to oblivion once more. "You must face your past before you can find your future." Epilogue. Nate came to his senses slowly. Wonderfully, he could breathe. His eyes worked, too, after a fashion. Above him, five blurry, worried faces were staring down at him. He groaned and brought his hands to his head. They were numb, and strangely, his arms still felt as if they were encumbered by his suit. When Nate glanced down, he discovered that, contrary to what he'd thought, most of the suit was still there. Only the parts that weren't skin tight, like the helmet, gloves, and boots, had completely disintegrated. Blinking to wet dry eyes, his vision still blurry but decently usable, Nate grinned weakly up at the faces around him. "Well, that was fun." His voice croaked as he spoke, and he coughed. Ty snorted.
"Fun, right."
Kievan shook his head. "If you were a cat, you'd have only 7 lives left. That was close." Andrew and Shannon remained silent, But the expression on Shannon's face told Nate what he needed to know. The hostility and doubt that had been evident in every interaction since they boarded the ship were entirely gone. After a moment, Andrew asked,
Did you kill it?
It was Nate's turn to snort. No. His croak was improving as his throat regained some moisture. Banished. Couldn't kill it, but it can't come back. He shrugged. Andrew's face started to relax until Nate said, But there's another somewhere. Shannon frowned.
Shauna doesn't see any more changed on the sensors. She thinks that's the only one that was in there. Unless there are others hiding in the core of the ship still. But we've never seen a changed hide before.
She hesitated for a moment, then added,
Shauna says it was nobody we knew. The face didn't match anything in the computer, even when she regressed it to human.
Ty frowned.
That's an awful big ship for just one, isn't it?
Keevan bit his lip. What if there was another, and it died when they crashed? Andrew nodded thoughtfully.
That would leave one shade unaccounted for, all right.
He shrugged.
We don't really know how many of them there are, or how many they put on Resolute in the first place. We know they have computers implanted in their heads. Even one could probably run the ship with just that. We've never seen more than two at a time, and it's not like it's ever taken more of them than that.
Nate winced. I dunno. Don't think I could take another anyway. Ty laughed aloud.
You used 10 times as much E6 in it as anybody else I've ever seen. You didn't just wreck your suit, you made a hole in Resolute big enough to drive an air car into.
Andrew nodded.
It's a wonder you aren't dead.
He stopped and shook his head.
Voids. It's a wonder the thing is dead.
Shannon was looking toward the airlock, and she sounded thoughtful when she spoke next.
So, what now? We have 4 or 5 hours of air before we have to head back to Eteria. Do we dare go looking for salvage?
Andrew frowned in thought for a moment, then said,
We have to at least try, but you said there's another shade. What do we do? You're in no shape to go after it.
I think it left. Nate shook his head slowly. It was moving away. He coughed. Shauna made a soft noise in her throat.
Bright Star, you need to sleep. You were exposed to hard vacuum.
Nate smiled wanly. I can try. He sighed and shook his head wearily. I never even used the sigil. That could have been so much easier. When Nate awoke, he found himself strapped to a crash couch in near darkness. The room around him was just barely illuminated by a light over the door. Nate unbuckled the single strap securing him in place, then stretched and groaned as he floated, discovering that he was still encased in the remains of his environment suit. He was also still tired and didn't feel particularly good, but he was awake enough to function. He reached out to touch the wall near him and managed to get himself moving toward the door. Nate recognized the corridor outside and turned toward the bridge. Once there, he found Shauna sitting in her seat with Ty floating beside her. How long was I asleep? Nate asked.
15 hours,
Ty said. Nate frowned in surprise. I thought we only had 12 hours of air left. Ty grinned.
Resolute had plenty. We just had to find a way to get it out of their tanks. Turns out Shannon's a pretty good engineer in a pinch. Even if she is a grouch.
His grin widened.
Guess what? We found more suits, too. Replaces the one you broke, plus 5 more.
Nate snorted. I see how it is. How's everybody else? As he was speaking, Shauna touched a button on one of her panels, and suddenly Andrew's voice was coming through a speaker system across the bridge.
Bright Star, how are you feeling?
Lousy, but I'm awake. How are you making out? Nate asked, rubbing an eye.
Not too badly. We're just wrapping up over here. You were right.
Andrew's cheerfulness was obvious, even through the voice-only comlink. Right? Nate asked. About what?
The salvage. Resolute's never going to fly again, and there was more over here than we knew what to do with when we started looking through the core. Shannon's got emergency power all the way back. It's at least not flickering, but the power plant is totally wrecked. We've been transferring parts and fuel all day.
Did you even sleep? Nate asked.
Sure. We took shifts. Listen, we're wrapping up here. Kevin and Ty have been great help. Could you look in on our new guest? I want Shauna to stay on comms, and Ty should have finished his sleep cycle by now. Wake him up while you're at it. They're in the rooms adjoining yours.
Ty gave an impish grin as Nate responded. Sure. I'll have Ty show me where she is.
Ah, so he's awake. Roger.
Nate nodded to Shauna in thanks, then motioned for Ty to precede him out of the bridge. As Ty led him to the girl's room, he said,
We managed to get a bit of water into her, but other than that, she's been asleep. They're all still worried about her.
Ty paused thoughtfully, then added,
They sure seem to see life as precious compared to the Telestry.
He shook his head, as if he hadn't thought about the subject before and was just coming to terms with something. Nate nodded in acknowledgement and opened the door. The girl was strapped into a crash couch just as Nate had been. She didn't stir at all as Nate entered, though the light from the corridor behind him fell on her face. Grasping the fields was difficult, as if Nate had mental muscles he'd strained, but he managed it and reached out to touch her forehead with his hand. Nate pushed a little green Energemetra 6 into her body, feeling her tissues resonate at its touch. He could tell immediately that she needed water. Instinctively, Nate pushed more power into her without knowing exactly why he weaved it as he did, except that it felt right. He wasn't sure how long he concentrated thus, working to restore her tissues, but Ty left while he was occupied, and sometime later another person arrived. Nate didn't look up, though whoever it was gave a soft exclamation at seeing their passenger. Finally, when all felt right, Nate released his hold on Energemetra 6, grimacing at where dust was falling from the handprint where his palm had rested on the wall. Next to him, Shannon stirred and laid a hand on his shoulder.
Thank you,
she said.
I recognize her now. I should have seen it before, but she was so sick I couldn't. This is Laura Gilvers. I hadn't seen her for years. She is a friend. We thought she was gone. Her whole family must have been aboard when they captured Resolute.
Nate nodded, watching Laura's deep, even breathing. She must have been a prisoner in there ever since Resolute was taken. How long were they chasing you? Shannon looked heartsick.
At least a month. We responded to their distress signal, and they came after us before we could offer help. We tried signaling, then we ran.
She shook her head.
We must have happened upon them when they had just taken over the ship.
Nate nodded. Well, she probably had air at least until Resolute crashed into the behemoth. Otherwise, then, without warning, Laura screamed, flailing against the restraint that held her in the couch. Shannon let out a soft exclamation and pulled herself forward.
Laura, Laura, hey. Laura, it's Shan. It's okay. You're safe.
Laura's flailing stopped and she whimpered, her eyes wide open and staring.
What?
The girl wrapped her arms around herself and burst into tears. Shannon reached out to touch her face with one hand.
It's Shannon, Laura. You're safe.
Laura's hand came up and grabbed Shannon's wrist, and she choked on a sob. Nate laid a comforting hand on her shoulder, and she turned her head to him.
I know you. Do I know you?
Nate shook his head gently. It's okay. Shannon, will you stay with her? Shannon nodded, and Nate turned to push himself back out into the corridor. When Nate reached the bridge this time, Andrew and Kevin had already arrived. Kevin was rolling his UPT back and forth in one hand as he watched over Shauna's shoulder. Andrew was sitting at his own console, looking satisfied. Andrew nodded to Nate.
Well, we certainly couldn't carry everything, but we got the best of it. There was enough stabilized fularovium there to last us at least a few years. Maybe a lot more now that we're not constantly running.
What's fularovium? Kevin asked, curiously. Andrew shrugged.
I don't really understand it that well. High atomic number. Normally has a half-life of a few minutes, but with E6 we can stabilize it. Dense materials have more affiliated E6. Radiation causes spikes. When fularovium is destabilized, it gives the ship the power it needs to move.
Ty was hovering again by Shauna's seat. His tone was shocked.
This ship runs on E6? Directly?
Of course.
Andrew seemed surprised by the question.
Don't they all?
Kevin laughed. No way, mate. Not here.
Where is here?
A new voice from the doorway caught their attention, and they all turned to look. Laura floated there with Shannon behind her. There was a long moment of silence on the bridge. Laura looked much recovered. Her sunken cheeks were more filled out, and the sallow, sickly pallor had ruddied. She smiled self-consciously under their stares, then Andrew unstrapped and pushed himself off from his chair toward her, grinning hugely.
Laura, you're alive!
He caught himself on the wall nearer, then swept her into an awkward null-gravity hug, while Shannon slipped past them to move to her own control console. A moment later, Andrew turned from Laura to look thoughtfully at Nate.
I've been wondering where we are myself.
Ty and Kevin looked stunned.
You don't know where you are?
Ty asked. Nate just looked at Andrew thoughtfully. Andrew shook his head with something between frustration and amusement.
Put yourself in our place. A week ago, we just appeared a few light years from here, with barely enough fuel to get us to this star system. Where we came from, we were running away constantly, finding none of them here, and people living on a planet? Well, that was strange enough. So, we know we've been at the planet Eteria. Beyond that?
He shrugged.
Well,
Ty said slowly.
From what you said, you couldn't be from the Aurora Galaxy. You must have come back from the Diaspora. From one of the colonization expeditions. How many hundred years ago was it launched?
Andrew shook his head in confusion, and Shannon broke in.
Galaxy? Diaspora? Hundreds of years? We're from the Milky Way. We don't know anything about diasporas or colonization expeditions. We've only had spaceflight for about 150 years back home, and we've been running the whole time.
At this revelation, Ty and Kevin just stared. There was a long silence, then Nate said quietly, "Relative time is based on speed. The Milky Way is moving slower than Aurora. A lot slower." Nate smiled crookedly. Different timelines, different galaxies. It was then that Ty finally found his voice.
You're from home? The original home?
His excitement turned sober very quickly.
That means it's really bad there. Even worse than anybody thought.
Laura spoke up next, refocusing their attention onto the more understandable present.
Are we safe? I felt something amazing through the fields. Earlier, there was a change on Resolute. Is it...
Shannon spoke, her voice full of some strange emotion.
Bright Star killed it, and the shade that came out of it.
Laura looked at Nate, her eyes wide.
I was trying to hold it back. That was why I called to you, but I passed out.
Not killed, Nate said uncomfortably. Banished. Laura let out a disbelieving bark of laughter.
Does it matter? We have to go home. You have to help them.
Nate continued to look uncomfortable for a long moment. Then he sighed. I can't. That's not why I'm here. Someday. Someday I will. But for now, he shook his head. Laura looked troubled at that, but said no more. Andrew cleared his throat.
We still have a debt to settle planetside, and...
He glanced at Shannon and Shauna.
Provided my sisters agree, you have the use of adamant for as long as you want it, Brightstar.
At that, Shauna nodded firmly. A moment later, Shannon said hesitantly,
I don't know, Drew.
She turned to Nate.
What you did was amazing, but Adamant, she's not just a ship. She's our family's home. All that's left of it.
Shannon glanced back at Nate and Ty.
We owe you a ride for sure, but after that...
She shook her head. Ty snorted.
After what you've seen? Really?
Shannon eyed him balefully.
It's not really Nate I have an objection to.
Andrew and Shauna looked over at her, obviously troubled, but they didn't speak. Nate studied Shannon for a long moment, almost fondly. The encounter with the changed had given him a sentimental feeling for her somehow, even in her standoffishness. He suspected that given time to sink in, it might have the same effect on her own tolerance for Ty. He hoped so. Something told him they would be spending a lot of time together, whatever she might think now. That thought brought Nate back to the flash of insight he'd had on Ocarist. It felt like a lifetime ago now. Even after his encounter with... Could it have been the Lightmaker himself? Nate still couldn't remember that original insight clearly. His sense of certainty in his mission had redoubled, however. There were still many dangers that hadn't yet appeared, especially those Paul Kasizia had mentioned in his letter, passed on to Nate by the Keeper of the Mysteries. They were certain to make their presence known, given time. And behind them, the unknown loomed large in his imagination. Even leaving those other dangers aside, neither Drake Loredan nor the forces of the Dominion could be ignored. Loredan, now leader of the Telestry, would never simply leave Nate to his own devices. The Dominion, and particularly Stratigrave Rectus, were presumably still hunting him as well. The galaxy was a dangerous place, and he had much to do. Recalling himself to the present, Nate saw that everyone was looking at him, obviously waiting for him to speak. Nate nodded to them and shrugged. Well, if we're done here, let's get going. He pushed off toward his seat. As they strapped in, Laura's gaze kept returning to Resolute's half-buried, holed mass in front of them. The third time, she stopped what she was doing to regard the ship with something between sadness and fear. Kevin said, Is there anything you left behind? Anything you want us to fetch for you? Laura shook her head slowly, her eyes tearing up.
That was my home, but...
She shook her head more decisively.
There's nothing left there. When we were boarded, Mom and Dad and the others died fighting the changed. They're all gone.
Shauna turned her head to look at Laura, and said quietly,
I can't imagine having to abandon Adamant. We're your family now, Laura. That's all any of us has left.
The Energemetra 6 podcast is made possible by North Arrow Coffee. North Arrow Coffee is the pro-life coffee company where 15% of every purchase goes to support organizations like Crisis Pregnancy Centers, whose purpose is to support women in the most difficult situation of their lives. If you're interested, head over to northarrowcoffee.co and use promo code E6 to get 10% off with your order.
The advertisements featured did not necessarily represent my endorsements or views.
And that concludes Brightstar. Thank you, everybody. That has been a fun read.
Yes, it has.
Appreciate it, Mel. Appreciate it, Luke. And second and third, appreciate everybody who has contributed to this project and all of our listeners very much.
I don't know. I think you need a special episode just to go through the appendix, and you have to go through and read every single pronunciation.
I mean, I just absolutely saying. Could do that if you really want. I am planning on doing an audiobook at some point that I read, but I gotta be honest, I've been pretty happy with how everybody's been pronouncing things. I didn't necessarily make it easy on people, and you guys have done great. So I'm assuming, and I think this is what we ought to do, that the next thing we ought to do is go through From the Void, which is book 1.5 in the series. It's got short stories about some of these characters. Mel gets to narrate the first two. I'm not sure what our pacing will be. We'll have to see how long it takes to read them. We might do half a story per episode or something like that. You know,
yeah, they're pretty long.
Well, we want about a 30-minute episode is what we want. Mm. So we'll figure it out. Either way, though, I think that's the next thing. And Luke gets to read the third story. And then I have to figure out who's going to be reading Tom Neelan. So if there's anybody who is listening to this who's interested in reading a character who's hasn't gotten a hold of me about it, you ought to do that. Because I need a consistent reader for a character who will be more a part of the story later on. And actually, there are a couple of them. So there's that. Anyway, I think that's about it for the day. I don't see anything on the live chats. So I guess with that being said, thank you again, everybody, for being here. Thank you to our listeners. I hope you enjoyed Bright Star. And I'm looking forward to continuing this in the future. And next week, Mel, I'm looking forward to doing a Q&A stream with you. Hope to see everybody there.
Hope so.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you guys, and I think we will just call it there for the day.